Mariangela. It's not on. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Good afternoon, good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
So I believe we're starting with Chapter 29, Section 4. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and that is the handout is available from the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, section or class 28F. And we will start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Baruch Hu Ishkite Bidchilu Urchimu Udchilu Udchilu Urchimu Le'akta L'shem Yudhe Bavavhe V'yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah V'yihi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kanenei Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kanenehu. This is Chapter 29, Section 4. I believe this is the second time we're doing it, which we agreed on because of the material needed to be reviewed again. And the important aspect is the title, Man's Supernal Glow. We frequently see in English the word supernal, and it's really not clearly defined, at least to me. But it really means the upper worlds. And this is the issue that we need to come to understand as we will go start the reading. All levels to which the Klipot do not latch on are called Zihara Ila'a, the Adam HaRishon, the supernal glow of Adam, the first man. Now, if you look at the literal translation, Zihara is telling us it's, the English translation is supernal. But Ila'a means upper. But it also means light. And Adam, the first man, is a metaphor. Yes, there was a human being that was created. But the reason Adam HaRishon is a metaphor is because all of the souls of all of humanity throughout the centuries are included in the soul of Adam. If you look at the Hebrew spelling of the word Zahara, and I'm not accurate because I haven't really looked it up, but it's a Zion, a He, a Resh. Breaking that down, the Zion is a balance point. The Zion is the upper Jerusalem. The He is the physical world, or it's Bina. And the Resh is the head, the Rosh. So understanding the supernal glow that comes from Adam, we're really dealing with a metaphor that when every human being is actually unified with every other human being, we create a glow, we create an energy of unity. And that energy of unity manifests as a, for lack of a better word, we could call it charisma. We know that charisma comes from something that people have that not everyone has. And people are attracted to charisma. That's what's going to be discussed in this section. Now, I'm going to read this again because we need to understand the second part of the paragraph. All levels to which the Klipot do not latch on are called Zihara Ila'ad Adam Harishon, the supernal glow of Adam the first man, except for the Nefesh part of each level. This includes the levels of Yechidah, Chaya, Neshama, and Ruach of the world of Atzilut. The Abba and Yima of Briah, which is Ima, which is creation. The 20 Kitarim in the Zun, the Zeranpin and Nukva of Briah. The 8 Kitarim in Abba, Ima, Zerantin, and Nukva of Yetzirah, and the Abba, Ima, and Zerantin, and Nukva of Asiyah, all together, they are 10 Partsufim. But what did this paragraph really tell us? It said that the term Zihara Ila'a applies to everything except these 10 Partsufim. We don't really understand these terms. What is a Kitarim? We will have to find out. When we find out, we see that there are 20 Kitarim when we find out what it is, 10 in Zerantin and 10 in the Nukva. But this is of the world of Briah. And that there are 8 Kitarim in Abba, Ima, and Zeranpin and the Nukva of Yetzirah. And the Abba, Ima, and Zeranpin and Nukva of Asiyah. Essentially, this paragraph is confusing us. And that's what happened the last time we read it. We didn't really go over and point this out to you, for which I will apologize. But I'm not clarifying it right now. because it takes contemplation. Once you find out the Ketarim, the question is, why did the Rabbi, why did the Ari teach us that the Klipot do not latch on to these levels of consciousness? What is the lowest level of consciousness? Zerantin and Nukva of Asiya. It has its own name. It isn't called Zihara Ila'a. Now, the translator is commenting. There is an aspect of Abba unto itself that shines to Atzilut, and there is an aspect of Abba as coupled with Ima that shines to Bria. Where does charisma come from? Now, I'm using charisma not in the human sense, in the sense of Zihara Ila'a, the Adam HaRishon. Where does this come from? Rabbi Auerbach is pointing out to us that it comes from the fact that it's dealing with the mental levels of Atzilut and Bria. It's dealing with the fact that it's the male sharing aspect of Atzilut and Bria, and this is what's creating Zihara Ila'a, or what I'm calling today, charisma. This is the 10 Ketarim of Zeranpin and the 10 of the Nukva. Ketarim is connected to the Keter of all four levels, all four worlds. The Keter has 10 Sephirot also. That's true for the Keter of Keter. But it's not necessarily true for the level of Bina of Keter. Remember our learning of the four phases. Phase one is at the level of Atzilut, the level of Keter. Phase two is where the potential for evil and negativity exists. And that means that there is the partsufim of 10 Ketarim is not complete at the level of Bria. Continuing to read. Two Keter aspects for each of these four partsufim. Keter as well as Chokmah, which is sometimes included in the Keter aspect. Now that's something you haven't read before, or we haven't understood the reading of it before. Chokmah sometimes rises back into the Keter, just as Zeranpin rises into the level of Bina. Bina was pregnant with Zeranpin and Malchut and gave birth to them. Keter gives birth to Chachma and to Bina. They're duplicates, but they're not quite duplicates. But we need to understand this aspect that the Keter sometimes has Chachma rise back into it. Now, this is a commentary from the translator. We see that the concept of Zihara Ila'a relates to the utopian state that was predominant before the original sin. It was negated by the original sin. So those special precious lights blew away. The rectification process prepares the world to receive them again. A little commemoration of the perfect state is left in each world to enthuse and give something to aspire to. Deep inside, everyone has some hidden point of utopian Zihara Ila. It is accessed through meditation. Understanding where it exists in the world helps activate it in the corresponding aspects of the self. For each person contains all the worlds in microcosm. Have you ever heard the term Kintaliyid? It's used in the Hasidic teachings all the time because they're constantly speaking Yiddish. Kintaliyid means that small point of Jewishness. Kintaliyid is what has to be activated in order for someone to return to Hashem. The Pintaliyid is always potentially active. It's there waiting to be utilized. Its purpose is as an impression. An impression of truth, an impression the metaphor that is explained by Rabbi Ashlags in 10 Luminous Emanations is that of a rubber stamp. When you have a rubber stamp, you have a pad of ink. And the rubber stamp puts the ink on the stamp when you touch the stamp to the pad of ink. But that pad of ink is not the actual event, the actual thing. Now you take the rubber stamp that's been inked and you put it on the paper. You stamp it on the paper, and you now have a mirror image of the stamp, whatever the stamp says. It's an impression that's been put on the paper. This impression is never lost, but it's just an impression. It has to be filled in. It has to be expanded. It has to grow back to where it was the pad. This is the meaning of Zihara Ila'a. It's an impression. An impression of glowing, an impression of energy. And we need to search for that impression. We need to find it within ourselves. Where do we find it? We find it through meditation. And this is explaining why it's necessary for every human being to meditate. Your balance can only come through meditation, because the only way for the impression to become activated is through the effect of meditation, where the impression becomes active. It changes from something that was lost. It left. It went away. It was not an impression. It was an actual thing, an actual energy. But it left because of the sin of Adam and Chava. It left. But it left an impression. And by connecting to the impression, we turn that light back on. And the only way that is done is through meditation. Continuing to read. Let us, all of creation, make man. This is a verse from Genesis, chapter 1, verse 26. It's driven philosophers and students of Torah a little mishuga, a little crazy. Because there's only one God, so why is it plural that let us make man? Each level of consciousness makes a donation to the individual human being. And until that meditation takes place to activate that pintaliyid, that donation that is left behind as an impression, until that takes place, the spiritual growth is fleeting. Yes, you have spiritual growth, but no, it doesn't stay with you. But once it's been activated, that level of activation grows by itself. Those lights that left the impression, because they didn't want to stay to the sin of Adam, that light fulfills the vessel of the impression until it becomes the actual thing again. It's not done overnight, it's done step by step. The metaphor of the rubber stamp is, the rubber stamp is always done. It puts the impression on the paper and that impression never leaves. But how does it become active again? It becomes active again when step by step the impression is fulfilled by that energy that left. Continuing to read. Now, each partsuf contains 10 sephirot, and each sephirah itself has 10, making 100 kitarim of 10 partsufim. Well, they jumped a step. Each Sephirah has 10. When you have 10 Sephirot, you have 10 Sephirot within each of those 10, and that makes 100. So, but why is it called a Ketarim? In turn, each Keter has 10 Sephirot, and 4 upper levels of the soul, Yechida, Chaya, Neshama, and Ruach. And all of this is called Zihara Ila'a, and it is part of that which was completely removed from Adam and ascended to its holy place. Remember what descended when Adam sinned? Certain levels of soul fell spiritually, and others didn't participate in the sin. They left early. They saw the future, they saw it was going to happen, and they left. Or maybe they didn't see the future, but they sensed the future, and they left. And in the level of Keter, there are 10 Sephirot within Keter, and each of those 10 has 10 Sephirot. So you have 10 times 100 is 1,000 Ketarim. But what's only important is the 10 Sephirot of the Keter. It's only the two levels. You have the Keter, then the first 10 Sephirot, and then 10 Sephirot of the first of those 10. This is how you get to the 100. Keter. Keter within Keter. But that Keter has 10. So it's, you have Keter of Keter. Hachma of Keter. Bina of Keter. Zeranpin of Keter to speed things up. Malchut of Keter. So you have the 10 Sephirot within the Keter. And each of those 10 has 10. This is where the 100 Ketarim come from. But what is the difference between the Yechida and the Keter? The Yechida is the level of Keter for the soul, while the Keter is a level of consciousness. Does the Yechida have that level of consciousness called Keter? The answer is yes. Does the Keter always have the level of consciousness of the Yechida? The answer is no. Continuing to read. And it is your sins that separate between you and your Lord. This is coming from a part of the Talmud called Chagigah. You know what else is in Chagigah? It's all about the meditation. Chagigah teaches about the meditation. It teaches about the sacrifice called Chagigah, which is the sacrifice that's brought with at Passover, the Paschal Lamb. But there's another sacrifice that is brought called the Chagigah. And that whole book of Talmud is describing that, but it's really describing meditation, and meditation that activates the Pintali Yid, that point of balance. Going against the divine will prevents the soul from connecting to Hashem and his essence, his effulgence, his light. The mitzvot of Hashem are upright, rejoicing the heart. A verse from Psalms. By doing a mitzvah, you are activating, step by step, the pintel yid, the vessel called the impression of the rubber stamp. I'm jumping around, but I'm hoping that that's still clear. Even though I'm jumping around because the language isn't clear to most of our students. They restore the soul to the perfect state of being. What is the perfect state of being? It's when the vessel called impression has been fulfilled again with the light. The impression has become what it was before. But of course, what it was before was perfection. But it wasn't perfection, because there was that illusionary feeling called bread of shame. This is the endless world. But that endless world exists over and over and over again. That endless world is what we are striving to return to. And how do we return to it? Through meditation that activates the impression to be what it was before. To be the rubber stamp itself, not the ink on the paper that is the impression of the rubber stamp. But the rubber stamp, the impression, is a pattern. And each human being has its own pattern. So each human being has to build again that essence, but it has to follow the pattern, the impression that was left on it by those levels of consciousness that left. They restore the soul to the perfect state of being, meaning Adam before the sin. This is why some minute expression of the dazzling light of the Zehara Ila'a was visible on certain tzaddikim, whose countenance light up a dark room. This is the charisma. You want to know why someone has charisma and someone does not? Because in their last lifetime, they built enough of that impression back to what it was before Adam. That's the sense of charisma. And if people understood that, we wouldn't be bothered by politicians. They might have good ideas, but people are not looking for the ideas, because the ideas are all in Hashem. People are looking for the charisma. They're looking for the lights. They're looking for the people who are tzaddik, who are righteous. And righteousness comes from building your impression back to what it was before the sin of Adam. The commentary by the translator, this does not necessarily mean that they are greater than other tzaddikim, who do not manifest it, who do not light up a dark room, who I can't tell if they're righteous. Or I can tell because I sense their charisma. rather based on the soul root and the tikkun of each righteous person, certain things are given to expression and certainty. That the word brachot is coming from the Talmud. Each tzaddik has reached the level, but they only express charisma if that is what is needed for their tikkun. So we can follow the illusion of voting for, running after the illusion of charisma, and someone who doesn't have it is righteous. But how do you tell the difference? Through observing someone's actions. Continuing to read. There are two levels of zihara. The first is zihara ila'a of atzilut, composed of yechida, chaya, neshama, and ruach of the world of atzilut. Not to the nefesh level of atzilut. The second level is zihara ila'a of bria and yetzira and asiya, which incorporates the entire two parts of theme of Abba and Ima, that is Chaya and Neshama of the world of Bria, and Arikan Pin, or the Yechida of Bria. And these four levels of Yechida, Chaya, Neshama, and Ruach of each Keter, or the 100 ketarim of the 10 partsufim from Zeranpin and Nukva of Bria, through the Nukva of Asiya. And all of these are called Zihara Ila'a of the three worlds of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya, as mentioned. These two types of Zihara Ila'a were completely removed from Adam when he sinned. And these are called level one. Yes? I think I've given enough understanding that this paragraph that I just read can be understood through contemplation. I'm continuing to read. Level two is also considered to be Zihara Ila'a, to which the Klipot do not latch on. But since it is of a lesser level, it is not removed from its place completely and remained with Adam and is the Nefesh of the world of Atzilut. And this is one level of Atzilut. The second level is the Nefesh of the 100 Ketarim that fell into the three worlds of Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya. Both stayed with Adam and are called level two. Level three is the rest of the Sefirot of the 10 Partsufim of the Keter. Rather than the 100 Ketarim, they all fell off him and down to the place of the Klipot. I heard from my teacher that level two is divided into two sections, and that the upper section is those souls that stayed with Adam in his body, and that the second lesser section is the souls that Cain and Abel inherited when they were born. But I'm not sure if this only applies to this level, and so on. Other levels, the second section is higher than the first. Since Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Chaim Vital, is confused, how are we supposed to become unconfused? Let's continue to read. I am also in doubt as to which souls remained with Adam and which were given to Cain and Abel, and the order of how this second level was divided. Cain and Abel contained two levels, one being their actual souls themselves, from the three worlds of Bria, Yetzirah, Nasiya only, like the rest of people who are not from level two. The other is the second section of level two, which Adam their father bestowed upon them. It includes parts from all four worlds, from the bottom of Asiya until the beginning of the Nefesh of Atzilut. It is a very elevated soul, or soul part. But Cain and Abel took all of the Nefesh of Atzilut. We also wrote that the two sections of level two are equal, with the exception of the first level only, which we mentioned there. We also wrote that Cain and Abel took the Nefesh of Atzilut, and it seems that the second section of level two in Cain and Abel is higher than the rest of the souls that remained in Adam for his own sake. We also wrote that the Nefesh of Atzilut did not actually remain in Adam, and that it is not completely removed either. Rather, it hovered above the head of Adam until Cain and Abel were born, at which time they took it, as well as the other sections of the three worlds of Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya. We also wrote that after Adam sinned, Hanoch took the Zihara of Ari, Adam the Zihara of Abba, and Eve of Ima, Abel of Zeranpin, and Cain of Nukva. I do not know if all of these are considered to be sections of Atzilut, or Abriya Yetzirah Nasiya. Further investigation is required. I also did not hear from my teacher who took the first three, Arikanpin, Abba, and Ima of Bria, whether it was Adam or Cain or Abel, his sons. This too needs further investigation. And in another place I wrote that Moses, who was the Gilgul of Abel, took them. I also wrote that the dot of Zeranpin is made up of the two joints of the two arms of Arikanpin, which are joined as the two shoulders of Arikanpin, which are called inheritance, since Abba and Ima bestowed them to their children, Zeranpin and Nukva. The rest of the four joints of the two arms remained for them, and they are called Akshanta, the Abba and Ima, the inheritance of Abba and Ima. This paragraph is applying to the image of that first man. The image of the man has 12 components. Four of those components are the elbows and the wrists. And the hips and the knees and the ankles. Shmuel is trying to clarify of these five, and I left off the shoulders, so it's six. These six joints of the two arms and legs. Four of these relate, those are the shoulders and the elbows. And these four components left Adam, but then they arrived when Cain and Abel were born, they moved into them. Kabbalah views the main body as being the torso. The arms implement the thoughts in the brain and allow the torso to express those thoughts. They are so as an inheritance which children use to implement the will and the aspirations of their parents. Cain and Abel came out of this dot of Zeranpin. For since Adam and Eve, who are called Abba and Eva, took the level of four joints for themselves, from which Hakba and Bina were made twice for the two of them, and the two joints that they bestowed to their children are called the dot of Zeranpin. The rest of the Mohin of Adam left for himself. It seems this way from another explanation. The rest of the Mohin of Adam left for himself. He only bestowed the dot to his sons, Cain and Abel. Thus we can say that he gave every portion of the dot to Cain and Abel, from the dot of the Nefesh of Atzilut until the dot of Nukva of Atziah, leaving for himself the rest of the sections of the Mohin, Hakma and Bina within him, which extend through all 10 Sephirot of his body. Even Chesed and Gevura of Dat that he bestowed to Cain and Abel also spread out through the entire body of Zeranpin to the 10 Sephirot within him. And this is clear as mud. From this you can understand what was lacking from the souls of Cain and Abel compared to those souls that remained in Adam for himself. For the main impact of the Klipot is the dot, the knowledge, in the secret of the tree of knowledge of good and bad. Cain and Abel were entrusted with the job of fixing their parents' mistake. God is a fusion of Chasadim and Givurot. They each draw to a different side, creating the decision dilemma. Choice happens in and comes from Dot. If so, it is the pressure place that needs fixing from the original sin, which accordingly happened from the tree of Dot. Cain and Abel were entrusted with the job of fixing their parents' mistake. They so had to come from Dot. Therefore, it says, and Cain, Yada, knew his wife. Rabbi Auerbach's commentary says that Dot, Cain and Abel, and were constructed from the level of Dot. Before he stated that Cain and his wife embody Abba and Ima, Abel and his wife embody Zeranpin and Nukva, as said above. This is not a contradiction to here, where Abel is reported as having the higher level of Zihara Ilah. Cain has higher potential, but Abel starts with higher manifestation. What this is saying is the impression that was left in Abel had already started to build itself. So when they were born, it was considered higher. However, on their levels themselves, the souls that came from Dot give off more light than the souls that come from the two Mohin of Hakma and Bina, which have many layers of clothing and veils. This is known from the levels of Nadav and Avihu, which were above Eleazar and Itamar, as written elsewhere. There we explained well all the doubts regarding Cain and Abel, and how Cain and all his male sparks came from out from the Giburot of the crown of Nukva. And we'll look that over well. And while this is part of section four, it's really a different subject called Yibum or Levirate marriage. Rabbi Auerbach's commentary, if a man dies without having had children, his brother is required to marry his wife or to go through the another procedure. But let's just focus on the idea of the brother must marry the wife in order that she bear children on his behalf. This is known as the Levirate marriage or the Yibum. When a man must reincarnate and dies, after that a son is born to him, since his wife was expecting when he died. The man himself reincarnates into the body of the son, and this is the secret of the Yibum. And this is explaining the stories in the Talmud that describe Abaya the Amora, who was born after his father died. His father reincarnated into his son's body, which is why he is called Abaya, meaning his father. Since his father reincarnated into him, I don't think this came from my teacher, but rather from Rav Elazar Halevi. This is the secret of why Rav Yava Saba, the previous Gilgul of Abaya, revealed the mysteries of Yibum in the Zohar. And so Abaya expressed joy over not having seen his father, being so exempt from the stringencies of honoring him. This would seem strange for someone of his stature, would seem to want to be able to do the mitzvah. Rather, he was saying that the mitzvah had no place by him, since he was his father himself. The simple explanation remains, teaching how careful one has to be in honoring parents. A small introduction. There are souls that are not from the root of the holiness of Shabbat itself, but are included in Tosafet HaShabbat, in the addition to Shabbat. They only contain that level and are not able to ascend higher than it, since it is the source of their root. Rabbi Auerbach, the translator, is commenting. One can add to the strict time of Shabbat by receiving it early and keeping it late. The rabbis learn out that it is possible to receive the sanctity of the Shabbat before sundown, when it officially comes to all, and to keep it after nightfall the next day, when it officially leaves. There is a special root of Shabbat holiness. Additional Shabbat is drawn from a lesser place. Rabbi Auerbach's comments. Nonetheless, there is a special kind of revelation that happens specifically during Tosafet Shabbat, the addition of Shabbat. The upper third of Tiferet of Zerantin peaks out in Revelation. My commentary. I did not add a commentary to this section since it takes a good working vocabulary of the language of Kabbalah and the language of branches. It is time that this starts to become part of your spiritual growth. If you have questions, please feel free to ask them. That is the end of section four. It's also the end of our class. Does anyone have any questions?
I do, Anna.
Go ahead.
When it said Cain and Abel were entrusted with the job of fixing their parents' mistakes, is that hinting that we too have the job of fixing our parents' mistakes?
Yes.
Figure it out. I'll say there's one other.
Say again.
One other. Let me find it. Okay, at the very last where it says there's a special kind of revelation that happens specifically during Tosafot Shabbat. The upper third of Tiferet of Zerin Pin peeks out in Revelation. Okay, I find sometimes on Shabbat that's the case, but I also find that it's the case on holiday. Sometimes the holidays, you may not finish what you wanted to study about the holiday, but it's like the holiday is over and you can't get back to it. And then there's other times that the holiday seems to extend a week or 2 weeks more before that diminishing consciousness leaves. You know what I'm trying to say?
What you're trying to say is that you feel an elevation from a holiday that you sometimes don't feel from Shabbat.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying both times, sometimes it's Shabbat, but sometimes it's holiday, that you feel this elevation and it doesn't leave. For example, I'm going to pick Hanukkah, for example. There's sometimes that it feels like Hanukkah goes on for another 2 weeks before I can put away my, you know, and the same thing with Shabbat. Sometimes, more so with Shabbat, when the days are longer, you know.
I understand your question.
Okay.
I've given you the answer in another place, another location, and I'll give it again because it's not your fault. You have a 10-gallon teapot, and you have a 50-gallon teapot. You fill the 10-gallon teapot with water up to its capacity. What does the teapot, the 10-gallon teapot, feel? It feels fulfilled, completely fulfilled, because it is. Now you pour the water from the 10-gallon teapot into the 50-gallon teapot. What does the 50-gallon teapot feel? It doesn't feel fulfilled. It's not the same. Is there any room for the 10-gallon teapot to grow? The answer is no. Is there room for the 50-gallon teapot to grow? The answer is yes. When you say you're feeling that Hanukkah lasts for a couple of weeks after the holiday, you're saying that your vessel has grown and you have the capacity to grow with it. And you spend those 2 weeks that you're feeling elevated doing sharing actions. You're doing mitzvot. Whereas on the holiday of Hanukkah, when you didn't feel that expansion, you were not doing. The energy of the universe doesn't allow for Hanukkah to be revealed during the next 2 weeks. But what you're feeling is the impression. You're feeling that you built some aspect of the impression of the rubber stamp. There's a whole concept of the holidays that isn't available on Shabbat. It's called the Yisro Chag, the impression of the holiday, Yisro Chag. If you read about it, it says that the holiday occurred on Monday night to Tuesday. then on Tuesday night to Wednesday, you still have the energy of the holiday. And it's up to you to search it out and grow with it, try and contain it and expand on that energy. And righteous people use the Isru Hag. They strive to maintain that elevated state because of the Isru Hag energy that is still there. But what is the Isru Hag energy? The Isru Hag energy is the 2 days that's available in the exile when it's only one day in Israel. I hope it's clear.
Yes. Is that spelled E-S-R-E-G?
I-S-R-U is one word. And then a hog is C-H-A-G.
S-I-G, yes, okay. I've seen that term before, so. Okay, thank you.
You'll see it on some of the Jewish calendars. The day after a holiday, it'll say Isru Hag day.
Okay. Right. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Have a beautiful evening.
Okay, you too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And remember that Saturday night is our connection for Elul. And we will be starting Lichot on the 2nd of Elul. Speak to you soon.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Shalom.